This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee. The Rising Sisters, an epic journey towards rebellion and a bond in sisterhood through time.
I never really recovered from those 11 days in Kilmainham. My constitution was hugely affected and never came right again. But in Mountjoy, we were treated well. We had sheets for our, well, planks of wood, if you will, and we could do our washing and use a lavatory decently without any, well, any kind of nonsense from those pigs back in Kilmainham. In exchange for the skilly, we were allowed sausages, eggs and rashers, which were passed in from our friends.
Will you have two or three sausages, Bridget?
Sure, any fool can suffer. Go on, Nelly, give me three.
God, this is the best supper I've had in a long time.
I'm telling you, Marie, it might be the only fry-up you see in a long time.
What do you mean?
Will you leave her alone?
She doesn't mean anything. It's just that some of the prisoners went to the warden's office to negotiate.
Negotiate what, Annie? Oh my God, we can go home. Can we go home? At long last.
It's just another power play. I don't trust them, not one word.
What are they offering?
A load of bull, that's what. They offered us a deal. Here, have another sup of tea in that cup. Live in Reading or Oxford at our own expense.
I've no private means to sustain myself over
that's
there.
That's what I told them.
It's the end of June and we haven't had a trial or even been officially charged with any crime yet. I'm telling you now, they have to leave us go. What did they say, Bridget?
They offered me a deal to live in Reading or Oxford, by which way I would have to support myself. They're keen to deport us at our own expense. If they deport me to over there, the way I live will be watched closely. I turned them down and told them I had no private means to support myself. They didn't seem to give a tap of interest.
Well, I won't be signing it.
Neither will I.
Many did sign the agreement to be deported, but for the four of us, we refused. Anyone who agreed to these terms lived very restricted lives, constantly under scrutiny. As for us, well, we got a shock at 2 o'clock one morning.
Come along, ladies, come along now. Get up in an orderly fashion. Quickly now, move.
Bridget, what's going on?
We better do as she says. Oh, Lord above. Maybe we are going home at last. What time is it?
It's pitch black. But good God, tonight. I'm so relieved. Finally, I knew it couldn't be much longer.
Prisoners, assemble quickly.
We're off.
Oh, my God, you were right, Marie. Tonight you'll be on your way home, girl. God bless us, I can't wait to see my mother.
Silence. Form a line in single file. Your term here in Mountjoy will finish this very hour. The release documents can be signed at reception. But remember, tell no one you are prisoners.
We will bring you from here to Kingstown by taxi and then by ferry to the Lewis prison. You will remain silent on the journey and tell no one you are prisoners.
I told everyone we were prisoners. They brought us by taxi to the train station. We had to walk a few streets, by which way Marie and myself got separated from the others by the traffic policeman's signal.
Come on, Marie. Let's run.
We can't.
Marie, now's our chance. We can make it. Run with me.
We can't leave them. And go where?
Please, Marie. Or I'll go on my own.
We can't leave the others. We can't leave.
Oi! You two! Catch up or I'd cuff the two of you.
We nearly got away. But Marie didn't want to leave the others. And she was right. We got on the train. Firstly, we were brought to Brighton by mistake. And then they had to wait for a connection to Lewis, by which way we arrived at midnight. When we did arrive, They expected us to walk to the prison.
Ladies, we will walk from here.
We will be doing no walking. We're exhausted. You'll call us a taxi.
And they did. We arrived at Lewis Prison, where they woke the night wardress to meet us.
Well, look who we have here. It's the Irish women.
We have five here, and one of them can be very outspoken. But shouldn't be too much trouble.
Stand into the light. Let me have a look at you. Well, look at you, ladies. Where are your shawls? And you've got shoes. Oh, you girls have a bit of style.
I don't know what you mean by that, ma'am.
Well, I expected you to be hooligan girls and the like. You were lucky your train was diverted. There was a mob here at 6 o'clock to stone you. Do you know how lucky you are? You demand a lot of attention, you ladies. We've had to clear a block of male cells to accommodate you. Now you'll have a cup of tea and then we will bring you to your cells.
Tea.
Silence!
Little light got through these walls. I felt it in the evening the most. The last part of anything beautiful from that world outside was a shaft of golden light breaking through my cell window at about 3 in the afternoon. As the summer sun gave luxurious heat over the rest of the world and cast it in gold, I was left sitting in a greying cell. Battleship grey was my light and world. Cold stone and mice running along the walls. We weren't allowed any light in our cells at night, so our inky silhouettes whispered to each other through the doors.
Can you hear me? Yes. What is it? Marie, what's wrong with you?
How will we fit back in? No one would want us.
Now you worry way too much. Do you know that? Look, you've put up a great fight. And here you are bawling about what people will think.
How will we keep living? They'll watch our every move. Will they ever leave us be?
It will be the way it's meant to be. Don't worry yourself.
Will we ever live the way we want again? I can't take any more of this. My mind just keeps going over all this conflict and all this misery. What's next? I'm afraid I won't have the strength for what's next. I'm tired, Bridget. I'm wrecked from all this. I'm wrecked from staring at these cold stone walls all day.
It's wearing you down, Marie. Pray for strength. Don't let yourself fade. Look, you've a good life ahead of you. You'll see, you'll be amazed at your own strength. This cell is not the end. Keep strong.
I give up. I tried to imagine my garden today. When I close my eyes, all I see are flagstones and metal stairwells. Any sunlight that comes through the bars looks dirty and unwelcome. It's like the misery in the place has hands with claws and it's trying to crush my skull. I can't imagine my life or anything good. This place is corroding anything good in my mind.
Marie, you're to stop that talk this instant. I'm warning you now. Keep your head up or I'll...
Or you'll what?
Or I'll give you a boot up the behind so hard it'll make you see sense.
Thanks, Bridget. Always the one with the sensitive touch.
I'll take that as a sincere thanks.
From a sincere friend.
Will you two go to sleep?
We better let Nelly get her beauty sleep.
One has to charm the guards with about the only grace she has left. I thought that would be your ability to keep your trap shut. Besides, I'm very charming when I need to be.
Charming, Bridget? You're like a bull in a china shop.
Like a bull in a British prison.
Oh, how charming.
Very charming indeed.
And then it happened. We were brought before a British magistrate, Marie and myself. The others were left behind. I don't know why it was us that was called before the judge.
Bridget Foley, you have been charged with conspiring, aiding and abetting your comrades with the landing of arms off the Kerry coast on April the 23rd, 1916. You will be released with the condition to desist from any further activity with the political party Sinn Féin. And Miss Marie Perrault, how did you get yourself mixed up in this business?
If I only saw two dogs fighting on the street, I'd have to take sides.
And which side would you take?
That of the bottom dog, of course.
Good news greeted us in 1917. My sister Cort was married. She had been interned in the Curragh camp for 9 months without trial and had an awful time there. Her wedding filled her life and our lives with gratitude, and we all lived and worked for the cause as happy and as well as we could. When I returned to Ireland, I remembered how awful the bread was in prison. We delivered 20 large pans, a slab of cake and 6 pounds of butter on a weekly basis to our friends in the Catings branch who were incarcerated. My duties towards the cause continued. Michael Collins participated in pageants and raffle drives to raise money for those on the run, for the families of those in prison. With the bread runs and the business and helping the sick, I was kept going.
A glass of lemonade, please.
Jesus, pouring cats and dogs out there, what?
It's very close as well.
Yeah, look, sit down there and take the load off and I'll get you your lemonade. It's desperate rain out there, miss. Huh?
Oh, there is. I got cotton coming in back from my rounds.
Oh, up there in the tenements?
Yes, a bad flu has those poor children very ill.
I seen you coming and going.
I see. Thanks. I'm run off my feet. I'll need to bake a load of bread this evening.
Oh, for the poor?
No, for some friends of mine incarcerated for making public speeches and their involvement in the Sinn Féin party.
Oh, those poor buggers. They get treated with terrible injustice. So you pass the bread to them, is it?
I do. I know how bad it is myself.
Oh, did you work at a cook there or something?
I was held there for months for my involvement with Sinn Féin.
Oh, right. I see. Look. Oh, I'm terrible.
If you have something to say, you can say it now rather than behind my back. I know what people are saying. It's a man's duty. It's a man's cause. But they needed our help, us women. And there was many of us.
No. Oh, I think you're great. Excuse me. What I mean is, well, aren't you all mighty women? Like, you know, in a decent way, I'm saying it. You're courageous. You're... Would you like to go for a walk some evening, miss?
I'm busy with the bread runs and my business and... Well, I'm always being asked to help with the coming of man and so... I don't know about a walk now.
Well, some evening? Not a wet one like it is tonight, but... Some evening if you'd like.
I'd better go. My name is Bridget.
And my name is Joe. Joe Martin.
Maybe some evening, so...
I'll tell you what, I'll meet you at Stevens' Green Gate entrance there on Sunday evening. Would you like that?
I'll be there.
I married Joe in June 1918. He was sympathetic to the Irish political scene. I carried on my duties of becoming a man. Joe and I lived in Leeson's Avenue, but I ran my business from 15 College Green, where I rented a few rooms to Dalairn. And in 1919, I got news.
Dear Mrs. Martin, you are invited to the opening of the first Dáil.
My God, it happened.
This brought tremendous crowds to the Mansion House. On the 21st of January, there I stood with all of those who had survived and pulled through the troubles to make up the first Dáil. Countess Markievicz was there. It was truly a tremendous day. But we hadn't seen the end of the Black and Tans or the auxiliaries by any means. I saw people trying to climb barriers and walls, fathers shielding small sons with flying bullets. We stood still and prayed for our lives. I saw a man's hat being shot off his head. I saw a man's heel blown out as he lay on his hands over his head. It was a massacre that day in Crow Park. The raids continued. Michael Collins gathered as much intelligence as he could against the auxiliary, but I often came into the office in the morning to find the place vandalised, typewriters and printing equipment broken. One day at lunchtime, I had popped home for a bite to eat. Joe was away in Drogheda on business. But suddenly...
Who is it?
It's Major King. Open the door or we'll blow it in on you.
Your husband, Joe Martin. Where is he?
My husband is on business in Drogheda and won't be home till lunchtime tomorrow. What would you want with my husband?
I'll ask the questions. What is your relationship like with the elusive Michael Collins?
I don't know the man. I don't know his movements.
But you have been charged and sentenced for your involvement with the arms landing off the coast of Kerry.
That is misinformation. That's what that is now.
All right then. Let me try this question. Are you a Sinn Féiner?
I am.
Do you know I could stand you against that wall and shoot you dead for saying that? Do you?
I'm quite aware of that. I'm not the first, and surely not the last, to be treated in such a disrespectful fashion.
Sign this. It's a statement saying we stole nothing.
I don't know that. I won't sign anything.
God, Jesus, what do they want with me?
I don't know. Perhaps they have you mixed up with Eamon Martin. He's heavily involved.
I have never even lifted a shagging gun. I'm sympathetic well enough, but sure, I've no dealings with this lot.
You're married to me. That's dealings enough.
The bold Bridget Martin. You know, you'll bring the whole lot of them to their knees.
Would you stop that, for God's sake?
I missed you when I was away.
They're back.
Open up, Joe Martin. Open up.
I'm here. Look, I'm here. Stop your bawling.
Joe Martin, you're under arrest and will be questioned about your activity with Sinn Féin.
Well, if you insist, I suppose. But I haven't a bull's notion about anything political, are you?
Reynolds, we will bring him to Dublin Castle. Mrs. Martin, you can see your husband any time.
Excuse me, Mrs. But I know that to be lies. But if you give me a hand to give to him, I'll make sure he gets it.
Well, thank you. What did you say your name was again?
John Reynolds, miss.
They kept Joe for 10 days. When I went to Dublin Castle to give him some comfort and inquire about his well-being, I was told he wasn't being held there at all. Eventually, I was told the truth by Reynolds, who passed to Joe anything that he might need. Reynolds' kindness was noticed, and I spoke to Mick Collins about it.
Do you think he'd grass?
I don't know, but he was quick to offer help behind Major King's back.
Major King? That fellow is feared by many in Dublin Castle. He's a bad name, even among the Tans. Could you arrange a meeting with him?
I gave him 100 cigarettes for his kindness to Joe. He was easy to converse with and came across decently.
Try and arrange a meeting with him in the coming days. If we could get him on board to get that information out of Dublin Castle, it would stop a lot of raids and executions.
Do you want to meet with him first?
God, no, woman. When you meet him, invite him to Leeson Street and suss him out. I'm afraid he could have an ambush waiting for me if I meet him first.
Fine, if that's what you want. I'll arrange for him to call soon.
Mrs. Martin?
You made it. Come in, quickly. I wanted to thank you for all your help with Joe earlier this month and just wanted to see how you were. It can't be easy up there in Dublin Castle in times like these.
I'll keep my mouth shut and my head down and just do my work.
I imagine it's difficult to turn a blind eye to the inhuman treatment of prisoners.
Most of them are only suspects, but they're all brought out of prisons or barracks after questioning. But it's in the headquarters of intelligence my work mostly sees me, in the file room and the record room.
I see. Well, that must require a lot of discretion and dedication, having information like that at your disposal. I mean, if it were to get into the wrong hands, you'd be...
Shot.
Shot is right. If not tortured inhumanly for days beforehand.
For the right price, anything looks worthwhile.
Would you be willing to give us information on prominent figures in the Black and Tans and about their lives? You'd be paid well.
I will.
I'll send word to Michael Collins. You'll meet him next. I will have little to do with any conversations you will have from here on. Is that clear?
Yes, Mrs. Martin.
Where are they?
I don't know. He's been gone with days. Please don't. I don't know where he is.
It's like they're one step ahead of us. It's an ambush. Get out. Get out. How the bloody hell do they know?
I don't know, Major.
Get out of this house. Send word to the castle. There is a mole.
With Reynolds' information, we could tip off the houses where volunteers lived. We gathered information on every member of the Black and Tans and their private lives. This saw Michael Collins bring down many prominent figures in the auxiliary.
Who do they know? Find out how this information is getting outside the walls and hang, drag and quarter the traitor who is leaking it.
We have enough information to bring them down, but I need you to keep the files coming. Can you do that, Reynolds? This is crucial. We can't afford to stop now. Oh, I'll bring them to their knees this way and through guerrilla warfare. We are everywhere. Let them know that. We will be like the wind in the grass.
I can't see this lasting. They're already suspicious. It won't be long before they figure out who it is.
If anything happens to you, we will get you out of it. Do you hear me? Any movement towards you and we will get you out of harm's way.
Do I have your word?
You have my word.
Jesus, I don't know anything. I swear to God.
We know it was you. Talk.
Reynolds was moved to County Clare as the auxiliary must have suspected his activities. They questioned many others, but eventually our luck ran out and he was arrested.
You'll die for this. You'll hang, and I'll personally see to it that your corpse is left hanging for all to see what happens to informers.
It wasn't me. I swear to God. I didn't know anything.
I went to find Michael Collins to try and arrange for Reynolds' defence. I searched and searched, but couldn't find him. I located Chief of Staff, Dick Mulcahy.
Where's Mick Collins to be found?
Your guess is as good as mine. He's nowhere to be seen for a few days now.
It's about the arrest of our informant, Reynolds. Mick assured him a good defence if he found himself in such a mess.
Reynolds was well paid for any information he was given. We can't really do anything. Hard luck he was caught, but look, that's the way.
I eventually did locate Mick, who allocated Paddy Lynch to defend Reynolds. Reynolds was being held in Beggar's Bush for months now, awaiting execution, certain to be shot. I went to visit him and brought him food and cigarettes.
Visitor!
It's me, Mrs. Martin.
Bridgie, what do you... Do you have news?
My God, your face. Are you all right?
You caught me on a bad day, Bridget.
You look...
Bridget, any news on my defence?
Well, I managed to locate Mick Collins and he passed on the job to a grand fellow, Paddy Lynch, and I'm... Well, I'm sure they're working on it.
Working on it? I'm going to be shot. Or at best, right here on my own.
They argue you were paid well and... Well, they might not be able to do a whole lot.
I thought I was doing something good. I thought I was making a difference against those heathens, those bastards. You don't know the half of it. If you heard the plans they have for people, they wanted to crush the life out of suspects and Sinn Féiners alike. They don't care. Mick Collins assured me, gave me his word he would arrange my defence if such circumstances befell me.
Well, look, I will. I'll get word back to Mick Collins and look, I'll be back to you. I'm sorry, Reynolds. I wish I could do more. Goodbye.
When the truth came, Reynolds was freed and never tried. I can't recall any other important events in my experience that would be of particular interest to the Bureau of Military History. Only that we were constantly called upon in office to help the volunteers in any way they wanted us.
Is there anything else?
I applied for my medals in respect of service in 1916 and subsequent period. I was only granted them about 4 years ago through the work of Lily O'Brien and Eilish Nereen. On principle, I never applied for my pension. My sister Nora, she moved to London after she married a doctor in Dublin. My sister Cart, she wasn't a woman of worldly means and she moved back to Killa to live with her husband.
Sign here, please, Mrs. Merton.
Is that it?
That's it. Thank you for your contribution to the Bureau of Military History.
Military history. Well, to most, it is history now. That's for sure. Good day to you.
Good day to you, Mrs. Merton. It was a pleasure.
Rising Sisters was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Written by Siobhan Fogarty. Produced and directed by Ruth Hayes. Sound design by Warren Tyvey. A Community Radio Yule production.